This episode is sponsored by It Ends With Us.
Based on the global best-selling phenomenon by Colleen Hoover, this captivating, faithful adaptation of the book is the movie of the summer.
Blake Lively stars as Lily Bloom, a woman embarking on a new life in Boston after overcoming a traumatic childhood. A chance meeting with the charming neurosurgeon Ryle sparks an intense connection, but as they fall in love, Lily begins to see sides of Ryle that remind her of her parents' problematic relationship.
When Lily's first love, Atlas, re-enters her life and her relationship with Ryle is upended, Lily realizes she must rely on her own strength to make an impossible choice for her future.
A Colleen Hoover book is always a good book, and I cannot wait to see this story brought to the screen. It Ends With Us is only in cinemas from August 9th.
This August, the best-selling phenomenon, It Ends With Us.
If you had a daughter, what would you say to her?
That captivated the world.
We all have an idea of what love can be.
Is now a movie that everyone's talking about and can't be missed.
15 seconds, that's all it takes to change everything.
Starring Blake Lively, It Ends With Us, only in cinemas August 9th.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today, Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Well, hello.
Hi. We've had quite an exciting morning, I have to say. We're here today to talk Real Housewives of New Jersey, epic season finale, cast finale, whatever you want to call it. But we had a very, very active morning, okay? Because Ron and I just went on to Andy Cohen's radio show, and that is going to be, I think it's going to be airing tomorrow, which will be August 6th. So everyone, go tune on to Radio Andy on Sirius XM and listen to his show, because we'll be on there also with John Hill. And we talked a lot about the New Jersey finale, et cetera. It was super fun. And even though we did Watch What Happens live during the pandemic, it was really cool to sort of have this like 25 minutes of just chatting with Andy, you know? So it was really fun. And thank you, Radio Andy and John, for having us on your show.
Yeah, that was a really good time. Ben was in the New York office and I was in the LA series. So we were like on the coasts. And so I was with the newly bleached blonde John Arthur Hill. And it was so fun. And also, I apologize to everybody because I posted on our Instagram that we were going to be on today because I don't understand how the world works. And I just thought it's a live show, so we'd be going in today. I got my ass up early because Ben told me 7:30, but he's on the East Coast. So I didn't want to bother him in the middle of the night. Yeah, 7:45, whatever, Ben. Huge difference, Ben. And I was like, oh no, I think he got the wrong time and the time difference, because I looked it up and it's 7 a.m. Pacific time. So I got up at 5 and I rushed down there. And of course, I was there an hour early. And then I had posted on Instagram to listen. And we weren't even on today because we were on a pre-recorded hour after. I mean, it's just, I'm a disaster.
Did you at least get a croissant?
I sure did.
Good.
A big buttery croissant and a big coffee. But sorry, everybody, I was a disaster. I told you to tune in the wrong day, and then I showed up at the wrong time. And then I showed up in this new shirt. I have a new shirt, and I look like I'm in my pajamas. And I've been gaining weight because I've been eating too much ice cream. And my love handles were literally coming out of the bottom of my shirt.
It's just been that kind of morning. But
I did
stop
have a really fun morning. No, that's true. They were. I'm not hating on myself. I just didn't notice that I was gaining weight until I put on this shirt that was too small and got out my love handles, where my muffin top was out for the world to see. And I was like, you know what, this is just that kind of a morning, you know?
Yeah. Well, I also made a mistake because I was in the studio with Andy and I forgot to get a selfie with Andy. I was like, I put on a nice shirt and everything, because I was like, well, clearly we'll have a selfie together. And I forgot to take the photo, forgot to have my moment of Instagram glory. No, there is no visual proof that I had ever met Andy Cohen. Now, no one will ever know. You'll hear our voices, but I don't know. Conspiracy theorists may say, guess what? Ben was on Zoom. You know, that's what they'll say. They'll say, guess what? Guess what? I got a story. Ben was on Zoom.
I don't know what Ben has to story about it. You know what I mean? Like, all he has to do is be honest. Just be honest. And here's the truth. I look young. You look old. Okay.
But it was really fun. And it was really fun to chat Bravo with him. And it's cool to see how our worlds have finally intersected in that way. So anyway, enough about us and Andy and all that. We are here. This is a very big New Jersey day. And later on today, of course, we will have our House of the Dragon season finale recap going. But this one's first. We're recording this one first. Although there was a nice crossover moment when Melissa literally said on this episode, "Winter's coming." I was like, wow. They are really...
There were actually a few. They kept making fire references. Like, I'm going to burn this to the ground. Like, they made a few kind of dragon-y things. I thought, wow, is that an NBC Universal show? It's like when Monica just happened to come out with a burn book the same week that Mean Girls was released. Like,
yeah.
You know?
If only they could have synced up Below Deck with that, too. Because there's been big storyline, everyone. Okay, so... Let's get on with it, shall we?
Let's do it, man. So we start with the Gorgos. And, we see a picture on the nightstand. And, of course, it's of Melissa licking Joe's head, which is kind of funny. I just wish that they showed the shot 2 minutes after where she's wiping the black Sharpie marker off of her tongue.
I also want to say that when this episode began, when we see them all holding up their meatballs or whatever it is they hold up, then the screen goes to black and white. And this is a recurring motif that they use this episode. A lot of things going to black and white to sort of suggest the finality of what we're about to see, which is weird because I feel like the way they keep on referring to this throughout this entire episode, like we're going to this last supper, this may be the last time I see some of these girls. It's like they already knew they were going to be rebooted and fired. It was like it was already in their minds. They're like, whatever, I'm gonna fucking say
it. Well, yeah, I think they knew because the cast trip was canceled. You know, the house burnt to the ground, which, by the way, it turns out that the house did not burn to the ground, only the garage burnt to the ground. Did you read that? So they're being overdramatic on that. But also the house burned and then they just decided not to do the trip at all. So I think at that point they knew, like,
oh, the producers were probably like,
they're cutting the whole season short. We're fucked.
Yeah, I think that they must have gotten a stern talking to. So anyway, so we're at the
Gorgos. But also, you know, here's the good thing about the Bible, y'all. You can call things Last Supper and think it's final, but guess who resurrected? His name is Jesus, okay? So don't count these ladies out yet. Jesus pushed that big old boulder from out in front of the cave, and so can these ladies. I believe in you guys. I'm going to wait thousands of years for you to come back. I don't even care.
People come back from the dead all the time on TV, okay? So just stay tuned. So anyway, I mean, look, if Danielle Staub could come back on the show, if they could get Dina Manzo back on this show,
Restylane in your body, are you ever really gone? No. You know what I mean? You don't even biodegrade, so don't worry about it. You'll be around forever.
Did you also have a moment where you thought during this finale, at one point, Danielle Staub was going to walk into rails? I really legitimately thought, wouldn't that be the funniest thing if they're all hashing everything out and it's like, I have something to say, and the door flings open and there's Danielle Staub. I was like,
"How dare you!
Pay attention, police,
children."
So, anyway, the other thing I was going to say, sorry, we're never going to start this recap, but I was thinking that,
yes, we'll be here all day. This is our last Jersey recap. We might be here 10 hours, and that is our right, damn it.
Yeah.
I pay taxes, and I'm going to stay here as long as I goddamn well want to. This is my last moment of this iteration. Well, that's not true. We have next week, too. Never mind. Okay, let's finish this up in 5 minutes. Well, what do you think about the Last Supper, Jesus resurrecting? Go.
Here's your
Jewish opinion on that.
No, I was just going to say this, okay? I was going to talk about, the Jersey eras. And I feel like if we were to break Jersey down into eras, you have, I think the first era is the first two seasons. That was when it was the Caroline Manzo, Danielle Staub era. That was when they were the focus. Era two starts. Season three is when now Teresa becomes front and center of the show. And I think the second era goes through Teresa being in jail, etc. And Wakile, that's the Wakile era. I think that's the common thread. And then the third era is the longest era of them all. That begins with the arrival of Siggy Flicker. And then ultimately, Margaret in the next season is the true beginning of the next era. But the Sticky Flicker season was when we start to transition away into like a new cast where it's not just Teresa and her family. We're going to get other people having other dramas. Margaret arrives. That's officially the next era. And that's what we've had for the last several years. So what we're basically, this is, it's like Ice Ages and Stone Ages and, you know, Restalin Ages. And that's where we're at right now. And so this is the end of a Jersey era right now. And that's what we are witnessing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had a point. I think I was just classifying things.
No, I like it. You know, breaking things up into digestible chapters.
I'm being very academic about something that's not academic at all. I'm actually sure like, they're the dinosaurs. They are the dinosaurs. It's like the Jurassic and Triassic and the Paramecic era of dinosaurs.
Although something tells me not to count Siggy Flicker out, and I don't know why. I think it's because, first of all, I see her all posted all over social media because of Trumpy stuff. Like, she's really gone so far to the right. or maybe at least people making fun of her for that. And but she's also, maybe it's because of Marge and all that, but I just feel like Siggy, and Jen, isn't Jen Fessler a friend of Siggy Flicker? Feel like Siggy Flicker is always kind of on the parameter, just with her little shark eyes coming around, just muttering under her breath, like, it's all I wanted. It's all I wanted, Joshua. Joshua. Joshua.
I mean, the bitter truth is that Siggy Flicker was actually a pretty great housewife, if you ask me. She just went nuts. She just couldn't handle it.
Nuts. I mean, usually it takes a few years for people on these shows to go crazy. Like, they start simmering and they start getting really tortured by the online hate, and then they, you know, get screwed over a couple of times, so they start the scheming and they become people that they never thought that they would become, and before you know it, you are the monster under the bed. But with Siggy Flicker, it was not 4 years, it was like 6 months, and she went nuts. Like, yeah. She came back after her first season completely insane.
Her second season was just like an amazing car wreck. You know, she made fun of my ponytails or something like that. Or she said she wanted
to wrap up. What was her big thing?
It was because Margaret said something about, like, if I say she like invoked Hitler in some way as part of a famous Jersey analogy. And Siggy was like, how could you mention Hitler in my presence? Oh, it's anti-Semitic. And Margaret's like, no, I'm married to a Jewish man. Okay, I understand Judaism. What are you talking about? I love Joan Rivers. What are you talking about? Yeah, anti-Semitism. It's bad.
Yeah, it went a little bit. Little far there. But so fun. And that's, I think, the bringing us back to full circle is everyone saying, this is too toxic. I can't deal with it. This is Jersey, baby. Like, again, I know I say this every week, but what do you think you're watching? This is Jersey, yeah. People. People like, oh, this is the most toxic season finale I've ever seen. This was the most innocent season finale we've seen in a long time.
It's like a senior prom for them.
Something got thrown. I'm shocked. It's thrown every other episode on this show. Why are we all like clutching our pearls? Come on.
This is like the only show on Bravo where someone could throw a glass and then the scene continues on, and one of them says, no, it's okay, I'm not threatened, baby. Whereas any other show, you throw a corn cob, and all of a sudden, it's like someone is carted off by Bravo police, and then you have three episodes of discussion about why violence is not the answer.
And then Giselle's bringing bodyguards everywhere she goes.
This show is just like throwing a glass is the equivalent of like knocking on a door.
Yeah, and Jen's like, bring it on, baby, I don't care. She's got my permission to stay, so I can keep bullying her about her husband's moves, baby. Anyway, we're at the Gorgas, and one of their sons, Joey, because, you know, what else would he be named? I don't know why that makes me laugh every single time. We've known the names of their children literally for years, but I still laugh every time I hear Joey and Gino. It's like, was Frank, was there not another Frank Bank available?
Or Nico? So there's like a Nico, a Nicholas, a Joey, a Frank, Gino. That's all you get.
Frankie, Frankola, Joeykins,
Frankelangela.
Like only a Gorga could is calling to try to figure out how to buy clothes at the mall. And she's like, okay, get some long pants. And he says, I don't know how to get long pants. Ask for the shortest ones. First of all, I think you're a Gorga. The wrong thing to do is to go in and ask for a long anything. Okay.
kids these days. They don't even understand how to get long pants. It's such a strange.
I mean, like, I get it in a way because you have to do the whole inseam measurement, like the length, which I was never good at either. I'm a long torsoed person. So I have like very, like a wider waist and very short legs. So it took me a while to get used to it. Like, I still don't know my jacket size. I can't buy a sports coat, you know? So I shouldn't rag on the kid this much. I think for me, it was just the code word being long. I was like, oh no, you poor delusional child.
I think, no, yes, exactly. I just think it was funny because he sounds like he's getting his license at the DMV. Like, I don't know what line I'm supposed to get into. I don't know what form I'm supposed to fill out. Like, what, like, should I have a photo ready? Is there going to be a written test before I put on these pants? Like, how do I do this process of getting long pants?
Yeah. Well, just, probably be, you know, be prepared to be confused and look stupid at the end.
Yeah. I know. I hate trying on pants, I have to say, because you have to take off your shoes and you put on the pants and they're not the right size. It's just it's the worst. So now we go over to Margaret's house. Okay, guess what? She's walking around and she's holding Bella. Okay, Bella, angel of love. Okay, you don't do horrible, evil shit like the rest of these crazy bitches. Okay, should we start with snacks? Come on. You're my favorite family member, Bella. By the way, Bella, I know you're wondering what happened with Joe's PSA. Well, guess what? We don't get an update this episode. Ha, 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 ha.
Remember the whole cancer storyline? It's over now. Just don't even talk about it. It wasn't very successful in the Q ratings. But you know what, Bella? I love you more than I love everybody else. And I truly believe that if you had opposable thumbs, you would have properly hung this Charlie Brown patterned wallpaper behind me. And it wouldn't make my eyes bleed every time I look.
Joe, the wallpaper's still messed up. I know, honey. I just wanted to remind you that you're inferior to Bella. Okay.
Okay, Bella, go put on a seafoam polo shirt. So Margaret puts out some cronuts. And Jen Fessler shows up. Hi, Queen. Hi. You know, I love Queen. Okay, how cute are you? I love your jumpsuit. Okay, it's beautiful. I love it. She's like, oh, you love it? I just got it. Because took me a while to get it. I had to figure out how to put on long pants. No one has any answers around this place.
Let me tell you what I have. Here's an answer for you. I have cronuts. Okay, they're amazing. And the professor's like, I love cronuts. What are they, cronuts? It's like a donut, but a crow. I love it. Cronuts. Love that. Love it.
Who would have ever thought that
there's no toxicity in those cronuts? Because I cannot take it. I'm a very mature person. I need peaceful donuts.
Peaceful donuts. Now, when I walked in this house, would I have ever thought we'd be dining on the testicles of a raven? No, but here we are. No, you stupid idiot. It's croissant and donut. It's not a crow's actual nuts, you stupid Fessler.
You know what? I like wine. Do you have crow wine? I'd love some wine. All right, sure. I have some red.
Okay, I'll have a red wine. Well, good. Just be careful because someone once spilled some red wine on my favorite coffee table books. I was like, I don't know which one of you did it. Jody 1 or Jody 2, but you both cleaned this up and gave me a reimbursement from Tashin, okay? That was for you, Joan.
I don't know who did it, but I'm telling you this. I haven't given Lexi's daughter a thing ever since. Now, I mean, listen, blame the child while they're around. You know what I mean? The adults are too smart. They can all deny it, but children cannot deny it. You did it, you little slut. I'm sorry, I'm getting too serious. I mean, it was a book I got from Barnes & Noble for $5, but still.
It was the best of Mapplethorpe, and her daughter spilled all over it.
Okay, so Fessler's just staring at the cronuts, and she's like, oh my God, those cronuts look so good. But for Christ's sake, eat one. No. I won't do it, but I will look at them and do this with my eyes a lot. Is that a
clue? Do you mind if I open up this box of bumblebees? Okay, hold on 1 second. Just to terrorize you a little bit. It's a call back to last week. Oh my God, every time I come over here.
She's constantly being tortured by bees.
Stop being a puss.
I just have to say, as someone who is also on weight loss medication, because Fessler talks, I think, on her podcast, from what I've heard, about being on Ozempic and stuff. And I have to say, as someone who also takes the weight loss medication, I've learned ways around it, like eating ice cream, because it melts and you don't feel full the same way. Like, it's so sick how addicted you can be that you're finding ways to still cheat even when you're taking this medication. But I will say that having a whole plate of cronuts in front of you and not being able to eat them is like being in a certain kind of prison, you know? And I feel for her when I watch her eyes do that, because you can just tell she wants them. And it's like when Superman's in an invisible prison and he can't get out. There's no bars, but he's just like staring out at the...
A cronut prison. He's just in the center of a cronut. It's like, these bars are so flaky. They're such laminated bars. God.
You know what? Superman can get out of a croissant and he can get out of a donut, but he can't get out of a cronut.
He can't. No, I was going to try to think of something that Lex Luthor would respond to Lex Luthor with, but I can't even think about it. You know, it's also later on, I just want to warn America, I'm going to torture even more by spreading banana pudding on top of the cronuts.
Oh my God, do you know what? There's Lexi Luthor there. Oh my God, she's eating the cronut. Watch it, Jen. It's like, I can't take it. Please stop eating the cronut.
I used to say that Lexi Luthor wasn't anything close to a villain until she spilled all over my carpet table. Stupid bitch. Ansel Adams. Now it just says Adams. I don't understand. Is it Amy Adams? There's a big red wine splotch on the cover. I don't even know who wrote this book anymore.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f-ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. Oh my gosh, you're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new Dateline and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
My name is Georgia King, and I am thrilled to be the host of And Away We Go, a brand new travel podcast on Wondery Plus, where we'll be whisked away on immersive adventures all around the world. Where we go, what we do, what we eat, drink, and listen to will all be up to my very special guests. We've got Ben Schwartz taking us on a whirlwind trip around Disneyland. We'll eat a bowl of life-changing pasta with Jimmy O. Yang in Tuscany, Italy. And how do you feel about a spot of sugaring off with Emily Hampshire in Montreal? And Away We Go will immerse you in some of the wonders of the world.
We're going to be seeing some yellows and vibrant oranges.
And the shoes clicking against the cobblestone.
If you're looking to get somebody in the mood, have them look at the Chicago skyline.
You can listen to And Away We Go exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Georgia, do you know what joy sounds like?
I think I'm hearing it right now.
So, Fester's like, well, I can take off my shoes, but I have to try and relax. I'm just so tired. It's just so tired with all of this shit going on. I mean, all the girls yelling, screaming, cronuts, rah, rah, cronuts, eat a cronut. Jen Fester, please, eat a cronut. I can't survive if you don't eat a cronut. Get those cronuts away from
me. Have some pudding. Okay, get over here. Have some pudding. All right. Have some pudding here. All right. See the spoon? Okay, open up the hanger. Here comes the private jet. It's coming into the hanger. Okay, come on. You got to open that hanger up. Oh, whoops. Swallowed a bee. My bad.
What is this? So it's banana pudding that she's putting on the cronuts?
It was Magnolia Bakery. She had banana pudding and then they were putting it on the cronuts and it was just like a whole bunch of stuff that was happening on those. Wow. It was a lot. I was across from the Andy's podcast or the SiriusXM is across from Magnolia Bakery, and I was very tempted to go in there after last night's episode and get a cronut, but I withheld. It was very hard. I was like, I tried to channel my inner Jen Fessler and not go in there.
One of our friends, Matt Marr from the Reality Gaze podcast, we were at a party a couple weeks ago, like a day party thing, a day drinking party, and someone said, oh, you know, the Magnolia banana pudding is so good, and he DoorDashed cartons of it over. I mean, I've never looked up to somebody that much.
Wow.
I mean, every time I think of Matt Marr now, I just think of like money coming out of his eyes. I'm like, who does that? DoorDashes banana pudding from Magnolia Bakery. Like, to me, is like Daddy Warbucks and who's the angel from Touched by an Angel? Della Reese, all rolled into one. I'm like, you're magical.
But I also kind of feel like Matt Marr does that because that way he can call people Puddin as a nickname. Hey, Puddin, could you mind passing me the Puddin?
Hey, Puddin.
That's cute, right?
I think he just has it in his trunk. He's just that type to be hey, like, Puddin. You know what? I'm going to bring the world joy. I got Puddin. Hey, Puddin. Hey, sugar.
He acted like he got it DoorDashed, but it was in his trunk all that time.
It's Matt Dashed. Okay, so here we are.
Guess what? I pulled a real stunt, Ronnie. Okay, I pulled a real stunt. Okay, you want to hear about my real stunt? Okay, so, you know, they're at this
event. Did it have anything to do with ingesting cronuts, even though you're on Ozempic? I'd love to hear how you did it. Tell me your secrets.
Okay, stop being a puss. You enjoyed it, okay? So, okay, so put that cronut down. I'm trying to tell you a story, okay? At this event, okay, stop using it as a binoculars. Okay, I get the joke. But you never seen a hole in a pastry before? Okay, Fessler. So, you know this Margaret Joseph Byrne event that's happening? Yeah, well, I sent a gift. I sent a little gift.
Oh, there it is, a Byrne event. You know, just like a House of the Dragons thing. Yeah. I sent a gift to it. And she's like, Was it approved? Did Joe approve it? Lexi? Who approved it? And she goes, I don't have to get approval. I was just being funny. It was being hilarious. You want to see what it was? You want to see what it was? Let me show you. Let me scroll. It was a picture. It was a beautiful funeral arrangement. God, why is that so hard to say as a gay person? It was a beautiful funeral arrangement on a stand. Isn't that hilarious? She's like, oh, Margaret, get the fuck out of here. Next, you're going to tell me they're making donuts out of croissants.
Yeah, and it's already in your stomach, you idiot. So here, look at this. So we see a flashback to the, sorry for the loss of your dignity, funeral arrangement. And she's like, well, a funeral arrangement's a little morbid, no? No, what are you talking about morbid? I think it's fucking hilarious. It's like, oh, good. And the thought, I thought you had a sense of humor, Jen Fessler.
Well, I mean, I just think it's kind of morbid. Can we look at a clip of that so I could just see the part of Teresa refusing it again? And then we see the clip of Teresa being, you want to get down? You told her to shove it up a butthole.
You know what? When someone does something so absurd, they deserve an absurd response. Okay, and by the way, Jackie's dead to me, too. I just want to add that onto the pile. Jackie is dead.
Honey, should I wear a shirt that's not matching you today? You know what? Lego Man Flurbityberg. You see what I mean? Absurd question. Absurd response.
Very literal. We have a lot of literalism in this household. As in Lexi's son or daughter, whatever it is, literally spilled all over my coffee table books.
Well, listen, here's the thing. It wasn't a burn thing. It wasn't presented to me as a hate someone part. Hey, let's all get together and hate somebody. It wasn't that. It was presented to me as, I just want you guys to hear me out and hear the facts. And don't, croissant's a croissant. But you're not worried, you know. You don't think they're going to drop some big atomic bomb on you, do you, Margaret? What are they going to drop? There's no bombs, okay? I'm very forthright with any behavior that I do, okay? I don't run in shadows. I don't run in the dark. Any dark meetings I do with the light on. You know, anybody who's come here has banana pudding on their breath. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah, I'm not dropping any bombs. And Vesta's like, well, I don't want to know. And she goes, you know, if Jackie thought the texts were bad that I revealed to Dolores, just you wait, Henry Akins, just you wait. So then Vesta's like, well, you know, by the way, this is maybe the grossest glass of wine I've ever had. Oh, really? Oh, well, I asked Marlena to whip something up, some red wine vinegar and some orange juice, because I don't have wine here. I don't drink. So I thought that might be close to the real thing. Not good enough? No? Okay, we'll have another cronut.
So then the phone rings, and it's Dolores. And Dolores is like, well, hello, Marge. I'm going to see you in a bit. I'm on my way over.
All right, well, come on over here. I've got some really delicious... Well, bring some red wine, because apparently Fessler doesn't like what she has here, even though I made it from Marlena's dish soap. Okay, get over here, sweetie.
So she's got sage when Dolores comes. She's like, I'm saging because you know it. You're coming to the evil person's house. You're at the devil's house. Let's sage it. Let's sage it. And so Dolores comes in, and so they start talking, and Marge is like, oh, my God. Dolores goes, are you having ice cream? She goes, no, it was banana pudding. We got cronuts, everything. Like, literally, would you rather be at the burn party, or would you rather be at the cronuts, banana pudding, and wine party? I mean, who won this one, really? Burn. Ooh, that was a burn party right there.
I have a question. What is a cronut anyway? I'm still just not wrapping my brain around it. You're saying it's a croissant and a peanut? Is that where it comes from? No, it's croissant and donut. Why don't you understand? I'm surrounded by idiots.
It's a mix between a donut and a croissant. It's like a pebble tile. It's half pebble, half tile. 100% frank ineptitude.
Although, You should know when you say crow nut in front of Frank, it means that he jerks off onto a crowbar.
Not much comes out, thankfully. It's a lot of steroids in that guy.
But you know, thankfully, it did not take off in the same way. No lines around the corner for that one.
Poor Maz really invested a lot into that business. Well, that's neither here nor there. Now, listen, Marge, it wasn't a burn session. It was basically, you know, Teresa explaining poorly everything she's going through for the past couple of years with the ex. You know, she was saying that it's been so much anxiety and to have someone constantly after them. And she just wanted us to know that, you know, I mean, she didn't say this word. I'm saying this word, but she felt like it was a collaboration with speaking to the ex because you allegedly reached out to the ex in 2021. Year it's of like, the nut. Year of the nut. 2020.
It's basically like Louis's ex is the nut and you're the crow and you guys came together and had a collaboration, became a crow nut. That's all. Mm-hmm. So we see flashbacks to the 2021 season where Teresa keeps accusing Margaret of talking to the ex. And Margaret's like, what are you talking about? I don't even know this girl. I don't know what's going on with this. This was the season that I believe this is the season when the video came out where Louis was like, huh, okay, I'm going to speak to my ex right here. The famous video that Louis had. And Margaret started off the season being like, did you see this video, Teresa? You should like you should look into this. This is weird. So Teresa turned it on Margaret and was like, you've been talking to the exes, etc. So that was what we saw flashbacks to.
And she's like, I didn't even know who she was at that point. I mean, that first year she was with Louis and all that stuff was coming out. I've never spoken to that woman till then. Dolores is like, I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. I believe it.
Yeah. And guess what?
Believe it.
Do you believe it?
This is the episode of Dolores nodding very deeply and emphatically stating things like that. Like, I believe that. That's all she wanted.
Well, you know what? I never spoke to her before in New York. Never once when she was accusing me of all that stuff. I mean, have I spoken to her since then? Absolutely. Never about putting out stuff, though. Never about that. Just to know,
well, that was Teresa thinks that Margaret had her put things out of that. And she's like, yes, she did. But then what? What did Margaret put out? Teresa said very clearly at that get together that this ex is using Margaret to put things out about Teresa. But what has it been? All she put out was that video where he was at the camps shirtless with all the other guys. And that stuff was released. Before that season started off with Margaret saying, you need to address this because it's all over the place and someone's going to bring it up on camera. So Go out there and address this now before you look stupid on TV.
Yeah. Nothing else that's like truly significant has been quote unquote leaked. Stuff has come out, but it's came out because it's like legal stuff, you know? So
right, they haven't gone after him for all of his business and all of his fraud allegations and all of that, which they could have been because they're numerous. Those allegations. Right. So I'm confused. I'm as confused as Teresa, basically. I just find myself like, link, 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 link.
So Dolores like, you know what, Margaret, I don't know why you would talk to her. You know, the caliber of person that she is. Because, listen, I'm going to tell you, I spoke to her a few times, okay? And I don't give two shits, okay? Because like, and it was only on DM, okay? Not even on the phone. It was just on DM. And maybe on the phone a little bit, but only on the phone. I actually never even DM'd her. You know what? I didn't even speak on the phone. We met in person. Okay, you know what? So what? I had her over for lunch. We had a whole lunch and I wrote everything down. It was great. That's it.
I mean, you know what? I've never met her in person. I mean, I've seen her at events and stuff. Events called Marge's Lunch of Cronuts and Banana Pudding.
Please welcome Louis X, everyone.
I mean, was there a charity event called Melissa Sings the Blues and it starred, Vanessa Sings the Blues and it starred Louis X singing, you know, allegations against Louis to blues numbers? Sure, sure. But you know what? That wasn't really a meeting, was it?
Listen, did I have a silent auction to raise money to replace my coffee table books after someone spilled on them? Perhaps. Was she there?
Were all of the things that you could bid on, allegations against Louis in an envelope? Sure, you know what?
But I barely talked to her. So she's like, yeah, well, you know what? She validated all the Bo Deedle shit. Absolutely. And then, you know, she's like, you know what? And she said, I would be worried if I were you. After everything that happened and what they did to my son, okay, I'd be worried. She absolutely validated all of it. And Dolores is like,
they called my son's work.
They called him at work.
Which I don't, isn't that just the allegation that he called the son's work? I mean, that seems dramatic. Although Louis is terrifying, I will say. Louis is terrifying, and I don't want to let him off the hook. But Marge, here's the thing. She was playing just as dirty by going, and what is Vanessa, the ex, is Vanessa. I think her name is Vanessa. But what is she validating about Bo Deedle? How would she know whether Louis did all this Bo Deedle stuff when she was already broken up with Louis while he was doing all of this stuff, supposedly?
Well, that's what Dolores says. And I think the answer to that is basically like, well, she can't validate that he hired Bo Deedle, but she can validate like, yeah, he hired a private investigator with me. Like she can confirm a pattern at least.
That's true because the allegation is that he hired Bo Deedle to send in fake customers or clients to her therapy stuff. I mean, the allegations are so crazy. I listened to a bunch of it on Bravo Docket, so I know some of it, but it was honestly so confusing. It's one of those, it's like Game of Thrones. You need to do a rewatch to really truly understand what the hell's going on, because I was like, this is a lot of crazy.
Yeah. You know, I want to read a tweet which I thought really summed up a lot of stuff about Louis really well. It was someone named Cool Girl who says, Louis ruined the dynamics, ruined Teresa's relationships, and fucked up Teresa's back. All of this mess is because Teresa attached herself to that man, and she's been paddling up Schitt's Creek since. She knows he's a mess, but too proud to admit it. Oh, well, actually, I thought the tweet was a different tweet, but that's true too. But basically,
well, that is true. Yeah.
It's like he came in and they're all going to lose their jobs. Yeah, like I think the tweet I think I meant to read was one that basically said, this guy comes in, he's super toxic, they're all going to lose their jobs, and actually the show could probably go on without Teresa and Louis, because we still have a lot of really good personalities, but Louis is so vile, and Bravo is so committed to Teresa that they're all going down with the ship as a result.
Well, I'm almost thinking they should just get rid of Teresa on break, put her on break, wait for that relationship to completely implode, because it will, and then just bring her back once she's done with the man. Because Teresa just, it's another cycle of Teresa and a toxic man ruining her life, and it's depressing at this point. Like, everybody sees it coming, and I think that Teresa fans are trying to stand up for Teresa, which, great, you know, I like Teresa. I'm usually standing up for Teresa in these wars over Melissa or whatever. I'm usually like a tree stump, but even I'm like, come on, like, it's not even standing up for Teresa. People shouldn't be standing up for her. They should be saying, we're worried for you. No one should be with a man who's like that fucking skank, and fuck that woman, and fuck her son, and her son should suffer. I want everyone in her life to suffer. I mean, that's a toxic, terrifying purple man. You need to get the hell away from there, because it is crazy and abusive. And one thing I forgot to ask Andy, I had it on my phone notes, but of course I didn't pull out my phone notes, was what was the deal in the preview where they showed Louis financially ruining her life? People were saying financially ruining her life. And then he was saying like, babe, it's going to be okay. And she says something like, no, it's not going to be okay. And I just don't want to talk about it. They cut all that stuff out, like the stuff where Louis is supposedly ruining her life. And I'm guessing they cut that out under pressure from their camp somehow. But I wanted to know, because I feel like people should be a little more worried for Teresa in this situation.
I think Louis is real. He's real scum. And you know, notice all of these things. Louis is at the center of all of it.
And Teresa should know better by now than to just walk into the middle of the road when there's like a blinking caution light. But she's Teresa, and there are reasons that
she is the blinking caution light. She's she's blinking, and she's the same color.
Blink, 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 blink. She's the only person who sees that light as standing still, a man standing still. It's like, why is that just a person with their leg up in the air? Because she's blinking too fast to see the movement in it. She's the reason that there are railings in front of crosswalks. You know what I mean? Because people should know, but they just don't. And they get run over by the truck anyway.
Yeah. So Margaret's saying, you know, like this ex has confirmed the Bo Deedle thing or whatever. And Dolores says like, you know what? I don't want to go back and forth because it's not my thing. I'm tired of this whole thing. And she goes, well, this is the thing. I mean, look, I would never hold a summit, a burn summit. I never would do that. You know what? I'd hold a Cronut summit. And guess what? You're at it right now. Congratulations.
I would hold a Cromut. Okay, that is the mix between a croissant and a summit. Okay, so a bunch of croissants get together and talk about what a bitch Teresa is. I would do that.
By the way, it's hilarious that they even thought that some sort of like quote unquote summit in the Berkshires would work. Did we not remember the famous summit in like Lake George, wherever it was, where the Joes attacked each other. This family does not, this cast does not do summits. That is not something that happens.
Oh God, or Arizona or whatever, when they went to like that peaceful time, the peaceful retreat in Arizona. Arizona still has not been the same.
No. So Dolores is like, well, thank you for not inviting. Oh, I'm sorry. She goes, well, Teresa, you know, Teresa brought up that the summit that you had before in New York. She says, oh, that wasn't a summit. That, you know, that's called doing a reunion review. Okay. Like there were musical numbers. There were sequins, top hats. It was wonderful. The crowd loved it. It's going to be at 52 Below. And see it. Tickets available now. Reunion review. Reunion review. It's hard to say, actually, if you say it quickly. Da 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 da. Reunion review.
That was the lead song.
I mean, it wasn't a summit. It was a reunion review. I mean, Vanessa even came out and did Old Man River, but, you know, replaced all the lyrics with Louis allegations. Louis followed me. Louis's a narcissist. Louis just keeps knocking along. You know, I mean, it was very nice, you know, but that doesn't mean I sat down to lunch with her.
Oh, you know what I have to say? My favorite part of the reunion review, Rachel Fuda's big number. Go, 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 Fuda, you know what they say. Go, 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 Fuda, you'll make it someday. You and your husband making up stories, trying to get airtime. It'll work someday.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Divorced, beheaded, died. Divorced, beheaded, survived. We know the six wives of Henry VIII as pawns in his hunt for a son, but their lives were so much more than just being the king's wives. I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Royals. In each episode, we'll pull back the curtain on royal families, past and present, from all over the world to show you the darker side of what it means to be royalty.
We rarely see Henry VIII's wives in their own light, as women who used the tools available to them to hold on to power. Some women won the game, others lost, but they were all unexpected agents in their own stories.
Being a part of a royal family might seem enticing, but more often than not, it comes at the expense of everything else, like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Go deeper and get more to the story with Wondery's top history podcasts, including American Scandal, Legacy, and Black History for Real.
So then Dolores goes, well, thanks for not inviting me to that one, whatever it was. She goes, I did. I told you to come. She goes, I never, you fucking line cut fitness. You never said that to me. I was like, whoa.
I know, Dolores suddenly.
Whoa.
It was a season's worth of aggravation just suddenly tumbled out of Dolores. Margaret's like, are you calling me a line cut fitness? Is that what you're doing? You invited me to this house the night before the reunion, and next you're going to say there were no cronuts, huh? No, there were no cronuts. Cronuts weren't even invented then. It's a new thing for 2024. What are you talking about?
We had fruit roll-ups then because it was like fruit, but it was rolled up. You know, that was the big thing back then. They did have banana pudding, in your defense. They did have banana pudding.
Listen, I told you 2 days before, I said, everyone's coming over, but I'm sure you don't want to do this. We don't want to come, and you don't want to do what, you know, I know you don't want to do that sort of shit, because you never fucking had that conversation with me. You never had that conversation.
My God, Dolores, we had a mild conversation, okay? It was a very liar. Mild. It wasn't a caliente.
Liar.
Okay? It was mild.
Liar. You're a liar. You're a fucking liar. You're a liar. You're lying right now. Never had it.
What?
Never had it. Never had
it. I don't even know what you're
never had that conversation, because I don't fucking lie. You're calling me a liar? Is that what you're calling me a liar?
What are you mad at me for? That's ridiculous.
It's a fucking lie.
Ridiculous.
It's a fucking lie.
It's a serious thing to me. Request. It was a very mild request.
It's a serious thing to me that you're telling me that you said something that you're fucking that you fucking didn't. I knew nothing about that fucking shit.
She's like, why are you mad at me? She goes, because you're lying. You're fucking lying. I'm like, okay. So Dolores, to me, this seemed like Dolores was like, oh my God, Teresa's gonna kill me for A, being on the fence this whole season when I should have been Team Teresa. And now I'm sitting here and she's saying that I went to this, fuck this lady, I'm going to call her a C word so I can see, be like, Teresa, see, I was still on your side this whole time. Because then she immediately calms down.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Okay, well, I'm sorry. She goes, okay, I'm calm now. It's been a very long day. Okay, it's been a very, very long day.
Honestly, it started when I went to Starbucks and I ordered a latte and they gave me a cold brew. And I said, this isn't what I ordered. They said, no, this is what you ordered. And I said, are you fucking lying to me? I said, you know what? Never mind. You're a sweet child. And I bottled it up and I thought it wouldn't come out again. But here it is out. It was my latte.
Do you know how difficult it is living in a 5-story home? Okay. You're going from the kitchen to the living room to the dining room to the kitchen to the living room to the dining room. I mean, I've got the ass the size of a fucking head now because of those stairs. And you know what's even more difficult? Being with a man who won't marry you, whose name isn't Paulie or Frank.
Let me tell you something. I'm sorry, his name is Paul.
I mean, Frank or Joe, okay? It's very, very
something. I'm stressed out beyond belief. I'm working at this new electric company. You know what they have me doing all day? There's a circuit board. 3 stories high. And when the lights go off, I got to climb a stepladder all the way up to turn a switch on the 3rd floor. Do you know how difficult that is? It's very stressful. You don't have a lot of time to do it. It's terrible. I thought I'd just be answering phones. Nope, I'm just flipping switches.
So you never said we're going to have a reunion review. Do you want me to come over? You never said it. She goes, okay, you know what? You go, I don't do that shit. It was very impassing, very non-caliente. And so Dolores is like, I got to leave. I gotta fucking leave. This is an outright lie. How dare you?
Sit down. Why would you do that? Sit down, okay? Like, why would you walk out on me, okay? I put out crow nuts, okay? Jen Festa finally just figured out what it is. Look, she's putting it on her head like a hat. She's ridiculous, okay? You gotta stay and watch this.
So then she goes, no, I remember that I told you because you were out to lunch with Teresa and Jennifer. She goes, I don't care where I was. If I was in the gynecologist's office. And they just like sit there and look at her. And Professor's like, what the fuck? What does that even mean? Professor, why are you putting cronuts on your lips like it's lipstick? I'm just trying to figure out what this is.
You fucking never told me you were having everybody over for a reunion review. Do you want to come? Never. And Professor's like, oh, well, I'm going to watch another rift in this friend group, and I'm so fucking sick of this BS. This can't be it, right? Clearly, there's deep-seated problems that they just haven't discussed yet, right? Guys, tensions are high. Let's take a breath. Let's drink one of these cronuts. That's what you do with them, right? We don't have to keep beating this up, okay? Take a fucking breath, everyone.
Well, I'm very offended, okay? I'm one of your best friends, and I've never called you a line cut fitness because I know. You know what? I'm sorry. And you had cronuts here? Listen, I'm sorry.
That serious.
I'm sorry.
Wasn't that serious?
Okay. It's like a mix between a sorry and Frank nutting on a crowbar.
Okay, that's disgusting. Okay, just relax now. Okay, let me give you a cronut and not that kind of cronut.
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. I do remember telling Dolores, and we recall it in 2 different ways, but I'm not lying. And Dolores was like, oh, God, it's just so draining. It's draining on everyone's soul. Who do you believe? I 100% believe that Margaret said, I'm having people over to come talk about the reunion. And Dolores said, I'm not fucking doing that. What are you, crazy? I'll get spit roasted if I do that. I'm not doing
that. Yeah, I think so. I don't know why Margaret wouldn't invite Dolores to that. So I think that happened. I think Dolores was probably so quick and fleeting. And, you know, people forget. You know, like, there's so many times where I am absolutely certain that no one told me something and they did. And vice versa. Like, it's just, you know, memory. I think, like, once you're older than, like, 23, you just can't, like, be so sure about your memory anymore. Like,
I think she probably remembers it very well. She's just mad at Margaret for bringing it up on TV because there's a lot of stuff that she could bring up on Margaret on national TV. And Margaret, by bringing it up innocently, Margaret is throwing her under the bus with Teresa and the audience and saying, oh, Dolores knew about this the whole time. And now she's acting offended. And, you know, because it turned into such a dark thing. It's like, I'm sure people get together before reunions all the time, but this turned into allegations of Bo Dietl and the, you know, spying on each other and the, you know, which of course Teresa's going to ride to her grave, being like, they came after my daughters and the, or whatever fucking bullshit Teresa comes out with every time to make herself the ultimate victim. But I think Dolores was like, oh God, now you're going to try and mess up with my friendship with Blinky over there. Oh, you're going to hell. You're going straight to hell, bitch.
And so Dolores says, you know what? That meeting was never mentioned to me, but the fact that she's looking me in the eyes and telling me, yes, you were invited. She saw an opportunity to make me look like a bad friend to Teresa and a liar. Thank you, Margaret, because now I know what you're capable of doing to me. Like, I don't think that was it at all. Personally, I really didn't think it was like a calculated thing to make Dolores look bad. I think Margaret was like, yeah, you know, I invited you. I invited everyone. You know, and like, I think that Dolores is just in a sense of heightened sensitivity place of heightened sensitivity because of everything going on with Teresa, and she's getting pulled in many ways, and Teresa is constantly pulling the card of, like, you're either with me or you're against me. You have to have my back, even though I will literally never have anyone else's back, but you all have to have my back the most out of anyone in your life.
Yeah. So Dolores is like, listen, you know what? This is terrible. And she goes, don't cry, Margaret. And Fester's like, everything's just so intense right now. I mean, it's just so intense right now. I mean, what are they going to do next? Make a hot dog bun into a cake? I mean, how are we all supposed to deal with this? Marge is like, oh my God. And then she tells me that the house we're supposed to go to burnt down. It burnt down, really?
Yeah, it totally burnt down to the studs. Can I just say? It didn't just burn down. It burnt down to the studs.
A little margin there. Yeah. Listen, she didn't mean to call you a Lion Cut Fitness. You didn't mean to imply she was lying. You know, Cronut probably didn't mean to get hit by whatever monstrosity this donut turned out to be.
Well, it burnt down to the studs, and that's what it is. You know what? We're good. Yeah. Yeah, we're fine. We're fine.
I'm
yeah,
sorry
we're good.
That I yelled.
We're fine.
It's very normal. It's all very normal. I only yell at my sisters like that. My God, and bring my them on. That's whose family we need to start building this show around. Jeez, bring Val and the sisters on.
I know. I was like, Dolores, sit down. Like, Wesley, I was like, what are you acting so crazy for? You know, you enter one Cronut into the situation, everyone goes berserk. Like, no one can handle some like a hybrid pastry anymore. What is this?
You know, I only get mad at people I care about. You know that, right? I wish they'd cut to, welcome back, scumbag.
I know. My favorite. Okay. Well, you know what? I think we all need closure, and we all should have one last thing where we all sit down and everyone should calmly have their last say. They say their piece, give their last rites, and move on. That's it, okay? Yes or no? She's like, yeah, well, I've got to say, I'll be very calm about it. I'll be very, very calm.
Sure. Right.
Looking forward to that.
Okay, so then we go to the Fudas, and they're setting up charcuterie boards. And she's like, oh my God, I hope this charcuterie board doesn't fall. Like, I'm literally going to drop this whole thing. This is nuts. John, watch me. I'm going to do a charcuterie board, and it might fall. Oh my God, everybody, did you see this? This might fall. I hope it doesn't. My God. Is everybody watching? I'm like, oh my God. I need to fast forward through Fuda doing a fucking charcuterie board. Make it stop. I know.
So Danielle comes over, and Danielle's like, ooh, it smells lovely in here. She goes, yeah, you know, I wanted it to not smell like dog, but now I feel like it smells like toxic pumpkin. Okay, but not talking about Teresa.
So Melissa comes, and they check in about John Fuda's allergic reaction. And Melissa's like, I thought you were going to die in my house. Why does everyone want to die in my house? Just because I got the best house in my home. And so Fuda gives us her monologue. She's like, so after guys night, I was adamant they go to the ER and he wouldn't go to the hospital. He just wouldn't do it. He just kept saying, Italians don't hospital. So I got an allergist in the area, and he went for a full allergy panel. Not even joking with you. Full. Guess what he's allergic to? Absolutely nothing. Is the film still going? It's crazy. Let me tell you. What we think happened was he took a bone marrow shot, and then a little tiny piece of the bone maybe got stuck somewhere in him, and that's what happened. And he kept saying, Italians don't marrow, but then he kept coughing. So who's right or wrong here? Is that camera still going? Is anybody writing this down? This is a good story. Do you want me to start from the beginning?
So the lights start to flicker, and Danielle's like, yeah, it's blinking. And she's like, oh, yeah, they're blinking because they're on a dimmer switch, but they're not dimmer lights. Okay, so here's what happened. I got these dimmer bulbs. These bulbs, and they kept flickering. So I went to every allergist. I said, could you do a test on my light bulb? And they said, we don't do allergy tests on light bulbs. Turns out we think a little bone marrow got into the light bulb. Are you guys still listening to this? No? Come on.
Oh, my God. Why are you falling asleep?
Go back to the toxic pumpkin, eh? I'd rather hear about that. That was a good story, huh?
Danielle's like, hey, you guys want to know what I said to Jen at the podcast? I said, we're at a church. I'm surprised it didn't burn down to the ground, right? It's like, yes, we've been rehashing this. She's been rehashing her greatest hits from that night for like five episodes now.
So and Melissa goes, yeah, and then look what burned down to the ground. That's crazy, right? Yeah, I wonder if that was her bedroom that set that was on fire, or if it was Teresa's bedroom. And Danielle's like,
it was. It was Teresa's bedroom. Yeah, it's the one that went down to the ground. And then I was like, what? Maybe it went down because you were in a church. Am I right? Yeah. That shit was funny.
So this has been something they want to know what happened with Teresa's house. Because, okay, so this is something that Teresa's been wanting to say and get off her chest for a long time. So what happened was she had a lawyer there, Jim something other. He looks like my aunt Cicely anyway. So he was there and we were all sitting around and Gia was also there and everyone's like, that's weird. And she goes, yeah, well, they were trying to tell us that they have evidence that Margaret would have been, like, trying to hurt Teresa and Louie and, like, talking to the ex and get information about Louie out through Margaret and stuff like that. And Melissa's like, but, yeah, this woman's been reaching out to all of us because I'm on display. Sorry, I just want to get in one last time before it's my final episode and you never see me again.
So she's saying, yeah, I mean, this girl, Louie's ex, like not only her, but anyone who's ever been in Louie's life contacts all of us. I mean, one of his nieces came up to me in a restaurant down the shore and she said, hi, I'm one of Louie's nieces through marriage to his first wife. And I just want to tell you, be afraid, be very, very afraid. I love that everybody in this family is both warning against Louie, but also kind of trying to get on TV too.
Yeah. So Danielle is like, I mean, what I took from this was that Teresa's 90 pounds soaking wet because she has so much anxiety. And Rachel's like, yeah, well, she's 90 pounds soaking wet because she's on Ozempic, not because she's upset. I like the idea of like Teresa being on Ozempic and then thinks her weight loss is because she's so anxious about something in Louie's life.
Well, also, you're allowed to be sad and on Ozempic. Two things can be true, you dick. And also, you're going to be on Ozempic soon because everybody will be. So shut up. Shut up, youth. Shut up, youthful one. It's like later when she calls Teresa hot dog lips. Like, seriously, you're going to throw hot dog lips around when you live in a Hebrew national house. You know what I mean?
So Danielle is like,
don't throw at Nathan's when you live in a Hebrew national
house. I just like it. I just like. Don't blame it on Ozempic. But it's funny because Teresa's using that as a crutch. I mean, Teresa's anxious, but I think that Teresa's sort of embellishing here. I think she's just looking for an excuse to get mad at Margaret, you know? So Danielle is like,
wait, embellishing what?
Her anxiety about the Louis situation.
I don't even know that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think it's her saying it. I think it's everybody else. But yeah, it is her saying it, of course. Danielle's like,
yeah, Teresa's distraught. Teresa's like a shell of a person, you know? Like, I mean, I guess she's always been kind of a shell of a person. But like, you see it on TV, you think I'm going to meet her. Maybe there's something more in the shell, you know? But you open the shell. Guess what? There's not even a nut in there. It's literally just a shell.
Yeah. To be fair, this is kind of a cast of shells, so... Melissa's like, what are we doing here? Are we gonna have like a last supper, like legit, like the last supper? And Danielle's like, yeah, pretty much. It's like, so what's that gonna entail? Like, we're gonna go to dinner together? Is it like the last supper? Like, really, is it like a supper? Is it be a final? Like, Melissa, you're going to a dinner. The way the dinner's gonna work is you're gonna have dinner and you're gonna fight like you do every single episode on this show.
So Danielle's like,
yeah, we got to get everything out that we got to get out. So we got to do it at the dinner. The last one. It's the last dinner, just like Jesus had. You know, like Jesus was going to have another dinner, but then his dad treated him bad because his other brother wasn't nice to him, you know. So that one's dead to him. You know what I mean?
So, Danielle, are you planning on reconciling with Jen? She goes,
yeah, it was a good...
I hope that Danielle never gets fired so that I have another season to at least try. Because... it's like a carnival game that you just can't win, you know? But trying to figure out how this woman talks.
Yeah, I just wind up going into Dorinda or start, like, I just go into, I always just start in some place, but by the end of the sentence, I'm like, I'm like drunk Erica Jane.
Yeah, I'm not even close, and I never strive for accuracy, but I haven't really found it yet, but I know it's there okay. Somewhere. So God bless it. I hope she gets another chance. I hope we get another chance. You know what I mean?
I think
request out there to the gods.
I think that she had two violent interactions with Jen Aiden sort of seals her fate though. So Danielle is like,
She's saying, I was a good friend to her, and because better than I think Teresa can be, because I actually listen and I care for her. And that's like so pathetic that you can't even enjoy a friendship. I mean, listen, the amount of free kids bop she could have had if she just stuck around with me. Just the amount of free kids bop.
They're like, are we going to be able to talk? And she's like, yeah, you know, I got a lot of stuff I got to get out, but I can't get it out because I'm like so upset with her. I like just can't say it. So they're like, write it down. She's like, okay, phonetically maybe speak it to a busboy and then have the busboy say it.
How about have your daughter do a dance routine to it, okay? And we'll set it to, like, In Sync.
Yeah, well, that's pretty appealing, but I don't know if I can do that.
So anyway, she's going to say her piece, and we know it's going to be a shit show. So now it's fall. We're seeing lots of shots of, like, Halloween stuff, and we go over to Danielle's house where she and the family, they're all going to be carving pumpkins, and they're getting the pumpkins onto the table and stuff, and they're going to decorate. And Danielle is next to Nate in the kitchen, and she's like, so I think I'm going to text my dad. We'll call him Sam. Sam is my father. Oh, I shouldn't have said that so loudly. Okay, what was the call? How about we call him? Okay, we'll call him Dad. Nope, that's just what we call him anyway. Okay, I'm going to work on the code name.
Yeah, you know what? You got to have a code name because the kids, they don't want to know nothing's going on with the family, all right? All right, pretend that pumpkin's my brother and stab it in the goddamn brain and cut his brain out and fucking guts all over the fucking floor because that's what he deserves, that good for nothing piece of shit. Eric, they don't know nothing.
So, you know, we use these code names because if we could protect our children from that pain, well, we will. We'll protect them from that pain. I'm like,
or you could just text your dad and make sure there's no pain that they have to be protected from because this is the stupidest shit I've ever seen. So there's that too.
Yeah. Listen, I don't want these kids to feel that pain until they cut me off in 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, they deserve their own original kind of go off of family. It's tradition. It's tradition around here.
I don't want these kids to ever know what it's like to never speak to a family member, which is why we're not going to speak directly to our children about what's going on about me not talking to my dad or me not talking to my brother.
Well, I want to teach the kids this communication, which is why I'm not going to say nothing to them about nothing.
You know, I really wanted my dad to come to the Bougie's Kids launch party and the Kids Bop music video, but it just never happened. Turns out my dad doesn't like totally obnoxious environments. So we're going to work on it and we're going to see if we can turn it around today.
So then Nate is trying to help the son with the pumpkin, but he just draws a terrible picture on it. And the son looks so pissed off. He's like,
yeah.
Wish I could tell daddy how much he sucks, but you know what? We don't talk in this family. I'm just going to sit here angrily.
He's like, hey, Valentina, how about we call Dad Sam so he doesn't hear this? Sam really doesn't know how to do a fucking pumpkin, does he?
If Sam ever comes near me again, I'm going to fucking kill that motherfucker with a stupid fucking Sharpie ruining my goddamn pumpkin. I'll tell you that. Thanks, Daddy, for the pumpkin. He didn't get a thing, eh?
To be fair, I'm like, has Nate ever done a jack-o'-lantern before? He drew like a human nose on it. Like, that's not how you carve a pumpkin. You can't draw a human nose. That's not carvable.
He drove a big fat nose and he goes, do you like my pumpkin? And she goes,
what's up with that nose? I never seen a pumpkin with a nose like that. And he goes, just like you, honey, before you got your nose job, wasn't your nose like that?
She's like, I never got what do you, I don't even know what's called, the nose job, haha. No, never not got none nose. No,
the only person in this family who ever got a nose job was named Linda, right kids, huh?
We don't talk about the nose job. Hold on one second. I gotta text Jennifer Fessler. Hey, Jennifer Fessler, I'm no longer talking to my husband. Could you text him for me and say I'm really offended by the thing he just said? It just shows he doesn't have my back.
I got a text from Sam, quote unquote Sam. All right, let's see what Sam said to me. Sam said, honey, I love you so much. I'm always there to support you. Not as much as your brother, but he's got a penis. Oh, by the way, tell my grandchildren I love them. Please, please, please call me back. Please, please tell them Linda's a bitch, but their grandpa always loves them. Please, I'll send your money through the PayPals.
You know what? This has been a very pivotal year for me. You know, I lost my friendship with Jen Aiden because I didn't know who she was, and now I do. And sometimes, who is it who said this, that sometimes when you lose certain relationships, it makes you mourn the most important ones in your life? I'm like, I don't,
I don't think that's a thing, but sure. Sure, go for it.
That was Buddha who was like, before you cut somebody off, try to think if there's somebody else that you should cut off more.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, you know, that's the first time my dad ever said nothing, something like that to me. You know, life's too short. Life's too short, am I right? And Nathan's like, yeah, honey, you know, I guess we should all say we love each other more often. So then we go to Marge and Joe, and she's getting ready for the Last Supper. Just like basically everybody did, you know, for the Last Supper. Yeah. She's like, oh my God, get my sandals. I'm going to look so fucking hot at this Last Supper. Jesus really is going to have it coming.
And then we go to the Aiden's house, and Jen's like, you know, baby, I just don't know what the vibe is going to be like. Like, what are we walking into? And he's like, yeah, you might be walking into the lion's den. Be sure to bring some lube.
You'll be going into the lion's den. And while you're gone, I was thinking of visiting the tiger tent. What do you think of that? Call me.
Look out for little kitty cats.
If you need any help, just call. I'll be here at the foot of the bed on the couch, my hair messed up, just doing this with my eyebrows.
And then we go to the Fuda house, where Rachel's like, I was thinking of going for like a mob vibe. I'm like, you mean a Rachel Fuda vibe? Like, it's like, that's just a, I hate to break it to you, Rachel Fuda, you kind of always are doing a mob vibe.
It's like, I really love this jacket. I bought such beautiful clothes for this trip, and I'm not going to get to wear any of the clothes. And you know what, John? If you look good, you feel good. Did you see me making that charcuterie? Did it look good? It felt good.
And then Dolores is getting ready, and Paulie's like, oh, I love that. Yeah, well, you bought me this in Paris, and I haven't worn it yet. Oh, I don't think you want to waste it. Honey, UFC fight. You get the joke that I just said? Because it's like you're fighting. It's like a brawl, like UFC. Just think about it, Dolores.
Well, listen, the people who have issues with each other, I want them sitting across from each other, because they got to look each other in the eye, and they got to speak, and they got to tell each other, we rode together. At some point in each other's lives, we've been in the same car. We need to stand up for each other. That's how we do it in Patterson.
Also, when people are sitting face to face, this way no one else gets hit by the salad when it gets flung across the table. Just a direct path. The shortest distance between two dots is a straight line.
That's so true, too. Because at first, you're
listen, Nashville,
you within throttling distance between each other, but you know.
Listen, we all remember Teresa was very far away from Margaret in Nashville when she sent those cups of flying. A lot of collateral damage. Prostitution whore. Teresa was diagonal to Danielle. It's like, this time, let's just keep the damage in a specific location.
Yeah, not whole thing. Teresa getting all violent and like swinging all that glassware and all that food and all that shit, thinking she's just being like iconic. And it's like humiliating to do that to somebody. It's just so fucking gross that she does it, and she gets away with it all the time. They have an ad for something. Oh, Villains. That show Villains is coming up, and Teresa's on it. And so they had an ad on Bravo, and she's like, I'm a villain. And then she like flips over a table, and I was like, oh my God, is she going to be doing that in like Branson, Missouri for the next 20 years? Just coming out and flipping a little plastic table over. Like, it's just sad at this point. Enough.
She will be doing that in Branson. Speaking of Teresa, we then go to Teresa Vanessa getting ready.
A musical review of Louis' allegations.
So Louis is like, so, hey, babe, what's your plan today to navigate around Margaret? Okay, how are you going to do it? How are you planning on doing this? She's
like, I don't have a plan, babe, because, like, I'm not a strategic person. Blink, blink, blink.
He's like, yeah, I know you're not. Just let it flow.
As they strategize. He's like, yeah, you know what you need to do? You need to tell her, stay away from our family. And you know what? I hope Margaret and her family, I hope they suffer. And you know what? I hope her son fucking suffers the way I suffer, the way other people in our family suffer, dealing with a woman like that disgusting, vile human being. Oh, okay. I thought the kids were off limits. Like, yeah. Can we insert a Tarita's daughter's, you know, fake tear monologue here somewhere? What a fucking pig. And while wearing a Transcend shirt, by the way.
I know. That's the best part. It says Transcend on his shirt. Can he also enumerate the ways in which Margaret has caused suffering on him and his children and his family? Like, how exactly does Margaret meeting with this ex who has spewed her story to every outlet she possibly could, not just Margaret, everywhere, sent emails to everyone and every podcast and every blog. How is it that this is Margaret who's caused the suffering? How have these messages even caused suffering for the kids unless you involved your kids in this? Because guess what? When we talk about Danielle and protecting the kids, etc., one way to do that is to not drag your kids into it. Another way to do it is not have, I don't know, maybe Gia sitting in at the James Leonard, you know, summit that happened in the kitchen with the bagels that go untouched. So these two have a lot of nerve talking about
my daughters. Just because it's season finale, I've said it all that season that this was happening, and I will always say it. Marge went too hard with that, like, you know, that stuff about Louie and this, when Teresa didn't want to hear it. She went way too hard. But the person who's putting this family in danger is Teresa. Teresa knew of these abuse allegations. They were all public. You're not going to tell me that Teresa didn't read any of the blogs. She saw the freaking crazy ass video that Louie put out there. But he
love-bombed her, and that's all she wanted.
She's the one putting her family in a dangerous situation. She's gross. She's putting the whole cast in a dangerous situation at this point. That guy's...
Yeah.
Nasty. He's nasty. He's really nasty in this scene. I mean, we've seen him get nasty before, but let's not forget, wasn't it just last week or the week before? He's like, Margaret, that fucking skank. Am I right?
What? Yeah.
You know, just from an HR standpoint, how is this guy even allowed on TV?
Just from, you know, properly fitting t-shirt standpoint, this guy shouldn't be on TV. But, you know, the other thing is
have that rule. This is Jersey after all.
But the other thing is that, okay, let's say his kids did suffer. Because, you know, I'm saying like, oh, well, they should protect the kids. But you know what, though? Sometimes these things do get out. It does affect the kids. So let's actually take like a more graceful stance for 1 second and say, okay, let's say the kids did suffer, which is not cool. Regardless of what you think about Louie, his kids should not have to be in this mess. Let's say they've suffered. What sort of person says, I hope your kids suffer as much as my kids? Like, you know the old adage, two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, it's trite, but it's pretty true. And like, it's extremely vile to think this guy is saying, my kids have had such a terrible time. I hope your kids have a terrible time too. Like, I mean, it's just pathetic. And again, wearing a Transcend t-shirt while doing this, just like, it's awful person.
So he's like, she's here to take advantage of everything that's going on. She's a real piece of work, real piece of garbage. And if Margaret doesn't apologize to you, you know she ain't even worth sitting in front of her, Teresa. She ain't even worth it. She ain't even worth it. And then whenever Teresa talks, he just stops and does his blue steel, like, lip purse, and then his squinty eyes sniffing, like, Fucking crazy. Get away. Run, Teresa. Run, girl.
Okay, back to me. All right, I have a few final things to say to Teresa, and that's it. But by the way, when she finds out, you know, the real truth, all bets are off, because I'm going to give Jackie a moment to address what I know about her, and I'm going to say, Jackie Judith Goldschneider. Okay, put that in the trailer. Okay, Jackie Judith Goldschneider. Do you want to tell Teresa everything you've been doing behind her back? Okay, Joe, she'll be stunned. Stunned into silence. Joe, put down that cronut. I'm trying to have a conversation with you.
Back to Louis. He's like, so you go in there? And you kiss and you hug all the women that adore you. And the ones that don't, just let them be. Because you know Rachel's just, you know, like a husband. He's a bottom feeder. A bottom feeder. Like, if people knew this guy's story, they'd be laughing at him to the bank. They'd be laughing at him to the bank. You know how people do to the bank, to evil people? They just laugh. Then they go, occasionally they deposit. Sometimes they take money out. Sometimes they're not even a member of that bank. And they say, what? I got to pay $4 to get out cash? Fuck you, bank. I hope your children suffer.
Sorry to interrupt, but did somebody say something about a bottom feeder?
What are we feeding the bottoms today?
Daddy's hungry and needs to be fed.
Margaret, you know she's garbage, and your sister-in-law, she's not even worth a tenth of a second of your time.
Ma, how much is that?
I know. Let's not get too specific with units of time for Teresa.
Huh? Tenth of a time second? What? I'm giving up 5 feet of my minutes.
You know what? Trust me, my brother, he knows me, like, really well. And, like, he knows, like why I'm done with him. Like, I'm not going to say the word never, but, like, you know, like, never. I mean, like, forever. I mean, whatever. I mean, oh, my God. I'm in a rhyming loop. I mean, I don't even know what to say. Forever, ever, never, lever, bever.
Hey everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.